Hi, Nancy. You're on mute.
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
Good.
Looks like you got your hair cut.
Well, it's just a backdrop. Yeah, I tried a new just plain blue background, and it's not very exciting.
Right.
So,
I'm not a big fan of using the backgrounds. I mean, I do sometimes if I'm in a place where I don't want anybody to see what's behind me, but
right.
Otherwise, because when for curly sort of frizzy hair, it makes my whole head look sort of.
And that's what it's doing to my hair. It's cutting out a lot of my hair, but oh well. Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. You look fine.
Okay. Hi, Debbie.
You're on mute, Debbie.
Hi, sorry. I had a background that I used for a little minute. I couldn't stand it because things were coming out of the side of my head when
that's
I turned.
What...
it was creeping me out.
Yeah.
So, Nancy, the letter there was, is it just you, the three of us girls?
Well, is a guest. There's Dave Kaplan's on as well.
Okay, because I had the other letter was put into the packet, the one that we had done months ago, which I still think is pertinent and appropriate, but I thought maybe it got switched with the one that I'd done this week. So,
no,
or the
we'll
one
talk
that
about
Sharon and I did the last 2 weeks, actually, I should say.
We'll talk about both of them, Deb, because we can't send too many letters. I mean, we lose our effectiveness if we send too many letters, I think. So we'll talk about them. I did some edits on the one you sent this week, which I think is very timely. And it's what we talked about a long time ago. I mean, basically asking the court to be a partner with us, be a supporter of us. As we address these issues with the 250 turn. And I think, you know, if we want to potentially add something in there about the COVID impacts, for me, there's just less of a clarity on the ask. There's more clarity on the ask in the letter you wrote this week and from a council perspective, from an elected official perspective. So, but let's talk about it. We can talk about
it. Well, why don't we put in there that we ask that their equity department look into the mitigation strategies?
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. Yeah, that may be a better.
I mean, that's at least it's something because we're asking also for an investigation on the one. Why not ask for an investigation on the other?
Right. Well, I actually took out that part about the investigation, but we can talk about it. I'll show you my edits. And again, this is coming from the perspective of an elected, what would I ask other electeds to do?
Mm-hmm.
I know, I'm pretty sure Jeff told me that he was not going to make it because it's his wife's birthday. So he would not be joining us tonight. He has higher priorities. He recognizes higher priorities, which is a good thing. So I think we probably have, except for Brian, we probably have most of who's going to be here. Am I missing anybody? Hi, Larry. Hi, Sharon. Hi, Javier. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Sophia. So it is 6:02. Why don't we go ahead and get started? Because I think we're all here. So welcome, everybody. Thank you, Lori, as always, for putting out the packet and keeping us organized here. Welcome to the next to the last airport committee meeting of 2020. All these meetings I've been on recently where we've talked about the end of 2020, it's like, will 2020 ever end? Are we, you know, are we going to survive the end of 2020? So I'm calling the meeting to order, the first order of business. Let's see, I can share my screen. Is that correct, Lori? I think that's correct.
Let me quick add you as a co.
Okay, I thought, it, yeah, I was.
Yep, panelist. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. It's.
Okay, should be good to go.
All right. Can you all see that agenda? It's probably not big enough, right? There. Can you see the agenda? Okay. So first order of business, approval of the minutes from the last meeting.
Which were I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Debbie. I think that was a second wave from Sharon.
I'll Sharon, second then.
Okay, any discussion on the minutes from the last meeting?
I just want to say thank you so much, Lori, for adding those tasks. And the minutes look very thorough and wonderful as always. Thank you, it's great. Great job.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Lori. All right, any other discussion on the minutes? If not, all those in favor say aye or raise your hand or somehow indicate
aye.
Approval.
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? All right, any abstentions? Okay, minutes approved. Next order of business is the discussion of roundtables. Let me make this a little bit bigger. Thank you, everyone who has been doing this. I wanted to start out by apologizing that I do not have the O'Hare data in here yet. I have gathered quite a bit of data. I have exchanged, I can't tell you how many emails with Jeanette, Cadenza, I'm sorry, I don't have her last name in front of me, who is the executive director of the O'Hare committee, Noise Mitigation Committee. It's got a more formal name than that, to try to set up a time to have a conversation because I haven't been able to answer all these questions based on the background research I've done. And I don't have that compiled yet, and I still don't have a conversation scheduled with her, but there is a lot of data out there online, some really interesting insights, and I will populate the O'Hare one. And I wonder if folks, so maybe I could start out here by talking about the intent of this. When we started it, it was when we were still in the negotiations around whether we might return to START or not. We know that other roundtables around the country may be more effective in their interactions with the FAA in the mitigation and agreements that they gain from the airports that they are working around. So the intent was to see if we might bring some ideas to START that would be suggestions for improvements that the community would find beneficial. So that was the intent, at least in my head, when we started this, is to understand how other roundtables in other cities work. Since the time we started it, the decision was made by our council to go back to START. I think it gives us a little bit less leverage, but nonetheless, I think there's still some valuable data here that I'm hoping by the end of the year, and we were tasked by our council to look at these things. So by the end of the year, by our next meeting, we will have some, an outline perhaps of some suggestions that we would bring to our council that could then be carried to the START table. That's my thinking on this exercise that we're going through, and I'm open to anyone else weighing in as to the value of doing this or the process that we are in the midst of. So I open it to conversation. Sharon. Sharon, you're on mute. You're on mute, Sharon.
Okay. Does that mean that Brian is still negotiating, or has the negotiation ended because the city council has decided to return? So what, I guess, pragmatic use would the suggestions for changes be? How would that be communicated to the port?
So in my mind, again, this same came about in a little circuitous way that the airport committee did not recommend returning to START. The council voted to return to START, but in the course of that vote, partly because of the motion I made, because I thought there was value, and it was based honestly on having the discussion with the FAA saying there are better roundtables or there are better examples of roundtables, the direction to our committee was to look at other roundtables by the end of the year. So I take that as an opportunity for our airport committee to go back to our council and say, yes, we've returned to the START table. Our community is still concerned about the representation, what's going on in START. And here are some options that could be brought to the START table. This goes back to council. Council could throw it away. Council could ignore our work. I hope that doesn't happen, but it's up to then council. I think if we as a committee say, we've looked at these other roundtables, we know there are places where things are being done more effectively, and we would like to make these suggestions to START, we would like to recommend that our representative carry these to START. The council can say yes, or the council can say no and ignore us.
Do we have representatives to START?
We do not have them yet. Honestly, I guess I could ask Brian, he's on the call, when that will be scheduled, because we did ask that it be pursued as soon as possible.
So is Brian going to join us tonight where he's going to give us any kind of update, Nancy?
We could have an update there, but Brian, do you have something you can say about when we will have some community representatives on START, the opportunity to for council to interview some folks?
That's something I'm planning to have completed or at least initiated before the end of the year. I have been challenged with other priorities to get this going, in addition to some preliminary work with START, given the schedule that's there. There are plans to work with the port and our colleague cities. Those plans are in place. We're working to change the structure of START. I've had conversations with port representatives, including Lance Little, who's been supportive of that. We're also looking to reformat the Highline Forum that forum with elected officials.
So we might at council, I don't remember seeing it on our council schedule last night, we might have the opportunity to have some interviews for some community members before the end of the year.
No, that's not correct. I said that we would have the process initiated probably before the end of the year, but with where we are with COVID, where we are with the end of the year and the holidays, I'm anticipating that it'll likely be in January of when those interviews or that process would take place.
Okay. Other questions or comments on, I guess at this point, either START or this exercise that we are engaged in? I will leave it. I mean, if airport committee members don't think this is a useful exercise, we can report back to council with a matrix such as this and say, here's what we found, and leave it at that. But I'll open it up for discussion here.
Well, I guess the only other point that I would ask, Nancy, is the 13 points that were originally the for returning to start. I wasn't in on any discussions recently, but my understanding was that the council voted to return to start, but I also thought that in one of our airport committee meetings that Mayor Mata had said that the 13 points were still negotiating points, that the city manager would be directing with the other cities to try to continue to make progress on some of those other points. So am I to understand that that is now not part of the process at this time moving forward, that is just not the case? Or did I misunderstand what I thought I understood?
Brian?
Those 13 points are still in play. Nothing has changed in that regard. We are working to address those 13 points in addition to the restructure of the Highline Forum. So if the airport committee through the council were to provide me with direction on ideas to work on to bring this forward through START, that would be something that I would do.
But it would be up to council. So, you know,
that's what I said. I said that it was airport committee recommendation to council and that I would receive direction to move forward. That's what I said.
Other comments from committee members on?
I have a comment. One of the things that I thought about the last couple of days is how none of this really represents everybody that's impacted by noise, because we know Beacon Hill as a fence line community has done a lot of work at looking at noise in their neighborhoods that's significant. Sharon even mentioned before that they were eligible for noise mitigation, but that the port was unwilling to put forth any resources toward it or include that community in a Part 150. I also know that Vashon Island is heavily impacted, and a shoreline by the turn from the west side that goes into the arrival stream. So those areas have people that are active and very concerned in the community. And I know Maria and David Goble both have not been asked to the START table in the past. I think they should be included in the future. So Brian, have you been able to talk to them? And that isn't in the 13 points, but has this been brought up in the discussions that you've been having regarding expanding the scope of communities impacted by operations?
To date, no, that has not been brought up. But again, the first meeting to discuss with the port these changes is supposed to occur here in the next week or two. So
okay. So I would recommend that you try to get those other communities included, because they have extremely important issues and very articulate spokespeople for large groups that should be part of the conversations.
So Debbie, I'd like to suggest, and it's a reflection on our matrix here, because it does not ask in these other roundtables what the membership looks like, who serves on these committees. The O'Hare committee has 66 members, mayors, representatives of multiple, any community that has an interest and is impacted by O'Hare. So I think that should be a row in our matrix that we add that says, you know, what, I mean, this says membership by elected officials, which was sort of the question of, you know, are there elected officials serving on it? We could make this a little more broad and say who sits at the table. And in this case, it could be any representative of any representatives of any communities that have are experiencing impacts. Sharon,
yeah.
Always.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just wanted to add that this all dawned on me, Nancy, when I was reading the communities represented around Reagan, that there are so many little townships and so many people that are brought in and included. And like you said, the number that are allowed with the O'Hare one, of course, when you get more people, you get more, maybe more go in too many directions and not really able to focus in on stuff. But I think having the most vocal, the best informed people at the table would benefit everybody who's advocating for mitigation.
Right. I agree. So Sharon.
Always the typist thinking here that to add another line makes another page. There's lots of room on the line that says membership by elected officials. Even that heading could be edited to say membership on the roundtable or roundtable membership. And then after high priority, add a bullet point there that says there are other communities that consideration should be given to other communities. And then say Beacon Hill and Vashon if possible, because the one that created the matrix, that's what was going on in my head. It would go on to a second sheet and then, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think it matters how many pages. And honestly, by the time I put the O'Hare in here, it's going to be off of one page because there's too much. And I think on the back, our commentary at the end, I mean, that's what we want to talk about at our December meeting, is what recommendations might we make that we would like to see in terms of changes in START. And these would be things that we as an airport committee would discuss, having done this research, that we would then ask our airport, our Burien representative to bring to START. And that would be presented to our council to say, you know, are you willing to have our START representative carry this on behalf of our committee and our community to the port? So that would be, you know, what we would do in December, is sort of finalize this to get it to council. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was trying to make it simple.
Anybody else have comments on this? Javier or Jimmy or Sophia?
The only thing I would add is, given the circumstances, it's probably not worth spending an inordinate amount of time completing this. But if it can be done within, you know, a few hours, it may be worth, you know, if nothing else, to have us the supporting material whenever Brian meets again with the port.
I think that's a good suggestion. Thanks, Javier. And we do have, I mean, given I haven't completed mine, I will work with Lori to try to have this, you know, evolve to sort of a set of recommendations that you all can react to at the next meeting. So we're not just looking at this raw data again.
Is there a way to take the narrative that I've created about my conversations with LAX Roundtable Chair Denny Schneider and Cindy Christensen from Boston Logan to add it to this matrix somehow? I mean,
I think there is, Deb. I mean, I had mentioned that to Lori, but I think we just didn't communicate clearly on doing that, because I think there's more information that's been gathered that can be included in here that you did and that I think Jeff did too.
Okay, thanks.
So thank you for that. Any other questions or comments on the matrix here?
So our path is, Nancy, you and Lori are going to work together to add the rest of the columns, and then we're going to look at it one more time and recommend it go to council. Is that our tasks going forward on this?
That's okay. Our task. And I apologize, I don't have my calendar in front of me to know if sort of when our next meeting is. Lori, maybe you can help me here, or someone who has their calendar in front of them.
The 21st? The 15th of December.
Right. And
15th.
We do not have, let's see, we have a council meeting on the 21st, so that would now be timely. So we can get it to, try to get it on the council agenda on the 21st. Ryan, I see, I just got a note that you have your hand raised. I can't, when I'm sharing my screen, I cannot see everybody at the same time.
No, I'd like to make a suggestion that I could have a role in reviewing this information prior to it being presented to council. The reason for that is I don't want to be in a position where I'm making recommendations that are contrary to the airport committee based on the fact that I haven't seen anything that comes forward. So that would be my request.
Sure, but you will be in our meeting on the 15th, I assume, when we will discuss whatever these recommendations might be.
Again, I'm asking to be a part of the coordination of these documents when they go to council. I don't want to be in a position where I may make recommendations coming out of the discussions with START that are contrary to the airport committee because I haven't had the opportunity to participate in agenda setting or anything pertaining to the airport committee as of the last several months. So given the importance of this initiative by the airport committee, that would be my recommendation.
So are you asking that we work on what are our outcomes, what we'd like to see happen as a result of the looking into these different airport communities, Brian? You want clear recommendations along with the matrix?
Councilmember Toss has talked about working with Lori to put these things together, which Lori, you know, is assigned as the staff person to do this. I'd like to be a part of those discussions as well, too, as this comes forward for discussion to the airport committee in December, and then ultimately be able to review and have input in this, given any feedback that I might have from the discussions that are taking place with the Port of Seattle as Burien's representative to START before those recommendations go to council. So I'm just asking to have a voice at the table to be able to comment on the direction that the airport committee is going.
That's fine, Brian. We can have a conversation about it. I'm just saying the airport committee will discuss it on December 15th and make, you know, have a recommendation that would then go into a council packet. So you will be in that meeting on the 15th, but I'm happy to talk to you about it ahead of time or work with you on it ahead of time. On the 15th will be when we finalize our airport committee recommendations, and then on the 21st it would go to council.
Yeah, I think that's where I was confused for a long time, Brian, is you attended the meetings, but I always thought you were an equal voice at the table until just very recently, a couple meetings ago, and realized that you were just there to be a participant, but not, you weren't really there to interject your opinions. And I've always felt that was a mistake. I want to hear what you got to say from your side. So I didn't realize there was a muzzle on you.
There's no muzzle. There's no muzzle, Larry. He's not a voting member according to the bylaws, but he's an ex officio member. There's no muzzle.
Yeah. Well, I've just felt that, you know, Brian's input's invaluable, but I just felt like that he was not. I don't know. I guess I was just confused about what his position was.
I think the council direction to him was to go back to the table to continue to negotiate.
Debbie, I think Larry's talking about his role in the airport committee.
Exactly.
His
role in the airport committee, which, you know, I always understand the direction that Brian works for the council, and he works at the direction of the council, not the airport committee. We recommend to the council, council recommends to Brian, tells Brian what they want done. I understand that. But as a participant on the airport committee, I think his voice is, maybe he doesn't have a vote at the table, if that's what the bylaws said, but he needs to have every freedom to speak his piece.
And do you feel like he doesn't? I think
because maybe the bylaws, sometimes we didn't hear from Brian in a manner in which we probably should have. I don't know. I'm just speculating in the past that maybe that was the case. I don't know, but it is what it is, and we'll deal with it.
Any other comments on the matrix?
I think it's a great effort on everybody's part, and I've been a little bit involved on the sidelines with the people working on it, but I think it's a great thing to send forward to the council when we finish putting all the polish on it. And I'll only say this, and I'll say it right now. If the council chooses not to go along with recommendations, or at least come back to us with changes, then what the hell is the airport committee doing? I mean, we're just getting, that we're being cast aside, that our opinion doesn't matter. And that's how I felt now for some time. And if that's the case, there's no reason to continue to have the committee. So we'll see where this goes. We'll see how the council reacts to it, and see what they direct the city manager to do with it. And that'll be something I'll be waiting to see what happens.
I hear you, Larry, and I couldn't agree with you more.
This city has the most incredible talent that has given thousands and thousands of hours of effort to try to steer and guide and give very clear direction on what we think are to benefit this community and people that have worked. And I'm not just talking about airport committee people. I'm talking about other citizens, and the efforts that have been put forward, I think, have been too many times cast aside, and especially recently. But I think this is a great opportunity to give the council one more opportunity to see what they will do with it. And then the airport committee can decide if they're necessary or not.
Jimmy, you're on mute.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate your comments. And I think when we talk about this particular conversation, because I keep on hearing the council and the airport committee, the last thing we need is to have a battle between the airport committee and the council. I mean, we've been together. Quite honestly, I don't really say anything because there's some minds that are already made up in this committee. And so I feel the same way. Like, why open my mouth if, really when I say something, it really, I think what ends up happening, council member Tost and I battle it. And why battle it? This is her committee. She's chairing it. She's setting direction. And I'm the mayor of the city, and I get to help steer the conversation with the council. I just think that, I feel the same way you do. I mean, we're not going to organize, we're going to work together. Why have an airport committee? The only reason I'm here, and I'm going to say this again, out of the respect of all of you who put your time and effort into this meeting every month, and it takes three council members to be involved in this committee to exist. I'm here to do the work. I'm here to listen. But I'm not here to sit there and have a conversation with the airport that's not going anywhere. Right now, in my mind, we're still negotiating in 13 points. I'm hoping to see the six or the five that have already been said that they're going to do. I believe that as long as we have the airport here, we're going to have to continue to have a battle with Big Brother. I was there when we overspent the money in the budget for attorneys when we were suing the FAA. And so I've been there supportive of every action this committee has taken. There's this particular one on going back to start. Yeah, I went against the committee. Went against the committee, not by surprise or by a shock of anybody. I give you my opinion when I was here at this council, at this committee meeting. Everybody knew where I stood. And so sometimes I feel like there's this conversation that's being had. I'm in the room. And the council decided this. Well, I'm part of this committee as well. I'm not only a councilman, but I'm also part of the committee. I believe that some social justice issues that we're not talking about. People of color, black and brown. We've already lost the only African-American we have in this committee. because she felt that she wasn't being heard and she wasn't being respected as well, right? So, but I'm here, I'm supportive. But what we do is I'm not just going to go pick a fight and poke somebody in the eye because you can. I mean, it's not my style. And I got to, you know, as an elected official, I got to go to sleep at night. And I feel like I go to sleep when I make my decisions and I go to sleep in peace. And if that's not the direction the committee feels that, you know, that we're taking, and it's not the right one, I'm more than willing to hear. I'm more than willing to meet one-on-one. I think I just got a call somebody from the airport committee the other day and I called back and I'm waiting for a call back. So I'm here to be supportive any way that I can, but I do have to give my opinion, my perspective, and I got to be able to sleep at night. So thank you.
I just want to make a suggestion about where this can go on that line that Sharon was talking about, you know, that membership by elected officials over on our recommendation that we recommend expanding, that the BAC would recommend expanding membership of START to include other communities, fence line communities like Beacon Hill and so forth, high priority.
Yep, I agree, Deb. I mean, and let's talk about it at the next meeting. I think that's what we're going to find exists in many other roundtables.
I think in some cases when I'm doing this, trying to summarize where we're at is to help Lori to put in the tasks so that we can codify this, because I'll forget about it in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, look, I mean, thank you. I mean, Lori is capturing the notes and she does a great job at doing
that. She does. I'm just trying to be helpful.
So we do vote as a committee, and I you know, I'm a couple of things here, I guess, that were just said by Mayor Mata. The majority of this committee voted not to rejoin START. There were two people on the committee that voted to rejoin START, but the committee recommendation to the council was not, and the council overrode that. So that's, you know, that's just the reality. And I think many of us who have worked on these airport issues, who have attended numerous START meetings, voted not to continue to support that table. And we're over. So that does create a sense of, what are we doing here? Why are we bothering when we've invested a tremendous amount of energy? So that's one comment back, that, you know, you felt differently about it, Mayor Mata, as did Council Member Aragon. Neither of you have ever attended a START meeting, so I think you were coming from a different perspective. But that's water under the bridge at this point. We're back at the table. Our representative right now, our only representative, is the city manager. According to the START bylaws, we are supposed to have two community members. Hopefully we will have those by January. So that's, you know, going to be representative of the community. And then I did not realize that Nakaya's non-participation in the airport committee, what she said to us was that she had other interests and realized that the airport, the details on the airport were not what she wanted to work on, that her community engagement interests were, her energy was going to be expended in other arenas. I'm sorry if she felt disrespected. That certainly was not the intent of our committee. We move pretty quickly. We've got a lot of depth and a lot of history here of working on things. So I'm sorry that we lost her voice. And it's actually a deficit that we have in our committee right now. We are down one community member. So even as we look at START, we ought to be thinking about adding another community member to the to our committee, although I think we have to look at our terms of appointment. So anyway, that's just a comment back. Any other comments on this matrix? I mean, the steps will be to, I don't even know if we're going to continue to populate it in the form that it's in, but to come up with some recommendations based on the research that we've done of all these roundtables and bring that back for discussion at our December 15th meeting. And I will work on that with Lori and with Brian so that we've got some recommendations. So, does that sound reasonable? And if anyone else wants to work on that in the meantime, I'm happy to sort of sit down. I don't need to take this on.
I appreciate you doing it, Nancy, and I don't have anything to add. Thank you, though.
Well,
Sharon, go ahead.
The only, just to save on workload, is since we have discussed and the comment been well circulated that Jeff and Debbie have done, and these comments that I organized from Sheila and Steve from almost a year ago, and Nancy, without putting you through the idea of putting it in the matrix, maybe we have enough already to come up with the recommendations, and that would be the emphasis rather than making the matrix pretty or short or whatever, but just to go directly to the recommendations, because that final column, the back commentary, kind of organized, it's organized to be the bullet points. Now they could be expanded on quite a bit besides the couple of words in each box, but that's really the basic notion there in each one of those categories. So I think rather than try to recreate the wheel one more time, just going immediately to the recommendations makes sense to me. So I'd suggest that be the emphasis of effort.
Yeah, I think that's right, Sharon. I do think what council direction was to look at other roundtables. Mm-hmm. So as we make a recommendation, I think we need to say, expand the membership, for example, and this is done in this and this and this and this roundtable around the country. So we've got some way to acknowledge that we've mm-hmm. done that work.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So we use the work that we've already done as kind of reference and background material. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on our agenda, the next item, and this was, I'm scrolling through the packet. So this is a letter that was drafted earlier this year. It wasn't exactly the letter that we'd asked for, but I know that some of you feel very strongly that talking about the fact that COVID, our communities, our South King County communities, and particularly our airport communities, are experiencing perhaps worse cases, more cases, more prevalence of COVID than some of the other communities are. And you know, some of that may be due to the vulnerability that we are experiencing based on the health impacts that result from being proximate to the airport. And that this letter was drafted to address some of our concerns with the port commissioners to say, what are you going to do about this? And this would be a potential letter from the city council that would go to port commissioners. There's another letter that's in the works that Debbie circulated this week that relates to the fact that she did a public records request and ascertained that the 250 turn that was remanded back to the FAA was told you need to look at the impacts of this and you need to consider this as part of the SAMP. That 250 turn seems to actually have increased in 2020 over what was going on in 2019, despite the fact that air travel precipitously fell off. So it seems pretty absurd, or a slap in the face, if you will, that the FAA continued to use that turn after we took them to court and pointed out to them that they were having impacts that had not been addressed. I personally feel like that is a stronger letter at this point to ask the port commissioners to support our concerns and to work with us as partners in addressing this flight pattern. Now, so we've got two letters here, and I'll just say as a council person, we would bring these letters, we would make recommendations to the council to send these letters. Sending multiple letters to the port commissioners complaining, I'm just not sure that we want to do that. So I'll just throw that out there. That's my opinion as a council member. It ends up feeling less impactful, I guess. So I would take the first priority, which would be the FAA, the turns, and then potentially come back and ask for an opportunity for a conversation with the equity office of around some of the COVID concerns. Obviously, COVID is more present right now, but anyway, that's my opinion. Let me open it up for discussion. This is the draft letter. I think there's some edits I would make to this. And then I have done some editing on the letter that Debbie sent, but before I share that, let me see what others think.
Well, this is Sophia. I know that writing letters can feel like a lot of effort and onerous, but when they're written really well and they describe a concern or position, they're really important for documentation. So I think that's what's important about not being discouraged to writing letters.
I think the letter to the FAA acknowledges that we have higher rates of COVID in the community. And I think that sending this letter about the COVID issue as an attachment to the first letter, it should go along with it, seeking mitigation efforts on the risk and conversation with their equity department. That's my opinion. Since we mentioned one and the other, we'll just send both together, and one is an attachment. Please see attached letter regarding the disproportionate impacts to our communities from COVID. I mean, the fact that we're the only community who was even more, had more overflights during the whole downturn in airport operations, and the community that it simultaneously has these health issues and disproportionate impacts, as well as higher COVID cases and higher poverty levels. It's just outrageous. I was so angry when I saw the info request from the port showing that they were using the turn even more as unnecessary, completely unnecessary as it is altogether. Considering they had 440,000 operations in the year 2000 with two runways and didn't need this turn at all, they're not even at that level with three runways and using the turn. How absurd.
And I think, and I've had this discussion with Debbie, and I'll only put my input in. It is very disconcerting, and the FAA can just flat ignore the port. The port can't direct the FAA to do anything, but I think by sending this letter expressing our deep concerns and pointing out the fact that because of the volume of traffic is down, the FAA has continued not only to do the turn when the court told them to stop, but they have all along increased it. The port at the very least could call the FAA over and sit down and have a discussion and say, is there not anything that you can do here to help alleviate this situation and help this community adjacent to our airport? And I think that Sophia is right. We send these letters and maybe an attachment, Debbie, like you said, to this letter, you're the other one, I think is very prudent, and they might just flat out ignore it, but I think it definitely needs to happen. And I'll say this, I have my contacts inside Alaska Airlines. The Q400s that were going to be retired and retired at accelerated speed have not only been reversed, but they've brought the ones out of mothballs back. So the Q400s that were going to go away are being reactivated and increased in service.
Is that because they're fewer people flying and they want smaller airplanes?
I believe that is the case. So they're cheaper to operate. Their prospectus at the end of the year says that they're not, but in fact, the Q400 operates, the crew cost and the fuel cost savings And if they can pack those and use them in a manner that they're using them, but they are bringing them out of mothballs and hiring pilots to fly them again.
Hmm. Someone has a raised hand, but I don't know who.
It's Sam. Sharon. It's okay. Sharon. Well, yeah, it's hard not to feel like this action and what we're seeing evidence of is targeting. I mean, it just feels like this is revenge. I think it does. I agree with Sophie with that. Particularly, I know I keep bringing this up over the years, but I think when people want to know what actually did BAC ever do or accomplish, these are milestones along the way that we can say we did this on this date and did this, and you know, maybe it was recognized by the port, maybe it wasn't, maybe it was recognized by the FAA. But to the people of, you know, the citizens of Burien, it's the closest thing that we have to evidence of our efforts. And I know I've mentioned this too before, is that I think those are issues that while people might not jump up and go, hurrah, hurrah, but at the same time, the citizenry would want to read about that in their monthly newsletters or whatever the communication format is with the citizens, is that so that they know that efforts have been made consistently for the last few years to improve the situation. Some has resulted in legislation, two different bills being passed that the Siting Commission and also the bill last year, actually earlier this year, to have sound insulation considered for those early years of when the port didn't know what it was doing and install really poor equipment, et cetera, into homes as a form of sound mitigation. But so I think it's good to chronicle the efforts of the group and for posterity or for the citizens of the city so that they know that the elected officials were really working hard to do good things for them. And so I support the idea of having the two go in tandem. And I wouldn't spend a lot of time recreating the wheel on the COVID. I think it's kind of standalone. I don't even know that it needs maybe minor editing, but the point is we don't do this to be perfect. We do it to, as a recognition that we're trying to better the situation for people living in Burien. And otherwise, why would we do it? And I know it's a letter, and I know they can toss it and they can ignore it, but it, just the same, the efforts of the group and the elected officials on this group, this is just documentation that a lot has taken place over the years and that a lot has been attempted to be accomplished in case somebody said, well, whatever happened to that, da 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 da. And if anything on an editing, whether it's this letter to the commission or the letter that Debbie and I worked on too, I think we need to make emphasize the point that it almost looks like recrimination. Why when everything else, all the operations were reduced, why would the ones over these Burien neighborhoods be increased? I mean, that just makes no sense whatsoever.
Especially considering a court order told them that's the only one that they can't use.
Right. I mean, I think attention needs to be called to that. And again, to document that we didn't lay down and didn't fight, and that we actually have had an intent all along with an agenda to improve the situation for the people living in the city of Burien.
So I agree with you. Some member of the public has their hand raised. I think I'm gonna wait until we do public comment. Whoever Samsung SM da 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 is, if you could change that to your name, it would be helpful. So I just know who else is in our call here. Well, let's deal with these two letters separately then. Brian, did you want to make a comment?
I did, thank you. I wanted to just comment on, I think Debbie pointed out that the letter that Matt Adams drafted and that I sent under my signature, I don't think David Sumi ever responded to that letter. So that, I think Debbie called that out. But this could be, and I think the public records request that Debbie's put forward with this additional experience with the Q400s, you know, following this case, the recommendation from Matt was, you know, our avenue is to pursue through the SAMP, you know, to make sure that they, you know, do the cumulative analysis that they're required to do, which is what the Ninth Circuit said they needed to do. And we could take issue with FAA's response, but a letter focused to the FAA, focused to the port, in this regard, that our expectations is that is, you know, addressed thoroughly in the SAMP. We think there's greater impacts as a result of it, and it's not consistent with the Ninth Circuit court order, maybe an option. The other is to, you know, provide this as direction to the city manager to address as a topic with START. You know, there's been some success with START regarding the use of the third runway. And using or not using the third runway. They've had some significant difference, which ultimately the difference between third runway and the center runway or the other two is a clear benefit in terms of noise to the city of Burien. So that would be a couple options that I'd suggest.
I would say let's do both. Let's send the letter and let's also present it to START. And I think that issue about David Sumi not answering the letter that Matt had drafted is very important, because while they ignore that letter, they ignore the court and they continue to drive planes through Burien that are posing what could be a significant health risk.
I agree with everything everybody said. I think we ought to do a double whammy, a 1-2 punch, and say, not only didn't you do this, you didn't do that. We spent too much time and resources for them to not acknowledge what's going on and to dismiss it and the city in the process.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think everything that's been said needs to be done, and we need to, the due diligence, the council needs to direct the city manager to do both of those things. And if we, however we got to get that done, it just needs to be done. And
I think I'd like to make a motion to approve an edited version of these two letters to forward to council for approval to send to the port and the port commissioners and the FAA. And I would also include in that motion to ask the council to direct City Manager Wilson to bring these up at the START committee meeting.
Okay, Deb, there's too many pieces to that motion. I'm sorry. It's because first off, we don't have a letter to the FAA in front of us. I wonder if, let's deal with this letter by letter, okay? So let's talk about the 250 turn, which is mostly what we've been talking about here, and our outrage that the FAA seems to be throwing it in our face. What's in front of you on the screen are efforts I made at editing the letter, mostly just to try to clarify it. And I'm you know, I'm happy to send this out so you all can react to it and offer suggestions and changes. My main concern is, what's the ask? I mean, we can point out to them our outrage and, you know, this is something that we think is against the law, but what is the council? Because I think it's important for the electeds to send this to the port electeds to say, look, we are appealing to you as fellow electeds representing communities to work with us to address this inequity, this violation of the court order, whatever we want to ask. So I tried to clarify that. I think we could also put in this letter that we suggest or ask that the START committee take up these concerns on our behalf. I mean, we as electeds could ask that that happens and ask our fellow electeds to work on that. So that's, you know, something we could add here in this last paragraph, but I think it's important to get the ask right. Because what are we as a council asking the port commissioners, our fellow electeds, to do for us or with us? And so it's up in front of you now. Can we make this stronger? What else should we say? Should we add something in here about, you know, we request that the START committee address this in some way?
Yeah, Sharon and I had asked for an investigation.
Well, that to me, I thought about that, Deb. Honestly, it's like, why did they throw this in our face? I mean, is that a worthwhile expenditure?
Well, see, the port has never even mentioned the turn. They haven't talked about it to us at all. And while I was still on council, I tried to get them to talk to us about it. They said, that's the FAA, it's none of their concern. Well, they're the ones driving the need, because for efficiency purposes, to get as much throughput as they can on peak hour, they have to have the turn to move the planes out of the way. That was the justification anyway. So the port can do things to investigate what the need is, what the purpose and need is, why it's still being used when the court has said it shouldn't be used. It would be the first time the port has ever talked to us about this turn. I mean, they'll talk to us about anything, but they've never once mentioned this turn at all. They want to hide behind the FAA's role, and I want to flush that out.
Yeah. Well, is one ask, just regardless of the history of whether or not the port has been responsive, is for the port to work with us to talk with the FAA about not using that turn as directed by the court, something like that.
That's sort of what's in the first.
Yeah.
Here.
To work with us on to halt the use of the Burien turn. So were you wondering, Nancy, how, because you were talking about what's the ask, and do you feel like this draft isn't clear?
Well, no, the red stuff in here, these are my edits to Debbie's letter. So I was trying to make it clearer what we were asking for. As you can see, I just highlighted in yellow, I deleted the demand an investigation into why the FAA is setting aside the law. That just seemed to me to, Debbie, I hear you, I hear the history, but demand that they elected officials investigate, I'm trying to envision us getting a letter from some other elected body telling us to demand an investigation, and it just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, I think for me that raises questions of authority, because, I mean, I think it implies that if you investigate that there's something wrong that the FAA is doing, and if the FAA has the authority to do what they're doing, then an investigation may not be as helpful. But
Sophia, let's be real clear about the authority. The FAA always has the authority until the court says, no, you can't. And the court said, no, you can't.
Well, you just finished my thought, because, I mean, that's what that's what you want, is for just the FAA to comply with the court order.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how an investigation, I think, would help move that forward. I mean, it sounds like they're just sort of
stalling on it. Could I just explain my thinking behind
sure.
it?
And, absolutely. Yeah, Debbie, can I finish my input too? I'm sorry. I want to hear what you want to say, but
on it though. On
Debbie, Deb, yeah. Stop. Let Sophia finish, and then Sharon had her hand up too.
And so, but Nancy, back to the highlighted where it's gray, we're appealing to the elected body to work with us. Okay, that's good. Because it says, when I sought to work on behalf of our community, there's a difference with, okay, do this because you should be doing this for us versus work with us and together can we go to the FAA. I think that just shows just more. And I know, you know, this is, I know the history has been really rough, but to partner, even though we don't agree on everything, but going to the FAA and saying, you need to do this versus us asking them to work on our behalf. Because from what I'm hearing from this group, that's just not going to happen. But it's important to say, work with us to talk with the FAA to do what we need to do, which is halt the turn.
Thanks, Sophia. Sharon, and then Debbie.
Well, the nuance I would add to that is that I think we could appeal to the court that in their efforts, and this is consistent with our rejoining START, with our efforts to cooperate and have more participation in the decision-making of the port, we would like to see them agree with us and work with us as we bring this issue forward or back to the FAA, because I'm going to take a sidebar here. Remember, Matt's direction to us after the court decision was released was that we should ask the FAA to drop the turn altogether. And we followed up on that, and FAA didn't respond. So I think when this is finally edited, we need to weave into this fabric here, this tapestry, the notion that the FAA isn't complying with the court's direction, and that we're appealing to them in the effort to have a good neighborly relationship with the port, that they would support us as we ask them to reconsider and to drop the turn, because they obviously don't need it right now. They're like 85% down from their 2019 operational levels. Mm-hmm. So if there was ever a time that they didn't need the turn, it's now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so maybe they might need to reintroduce it in a few years when we have a new airport somewhere else. But right now, they don't need to do that. And that the longer this persists, the more antagonistic it creates the relationship between the port and the cities and FAA, that triangulation. And who's hiding behind whose back? I think it becomes more apparent if we can nuance this by appealing in a conciliatory manner, knowing we're going back to START. About the START issue, there are no elected officials on that group. And I don't think the cities involved want to start deferring major decision-making to the START. So I have some issues about looking to START. I think they should be brought up to speed on this issue so that everybody can share the outrage with us. But I really wouldn't want them to take it on as a project, because I just flat out don't trust them. That's all I have to say about that.
Yep. I hear you. Deb, maybe really quick, do you want to
just
say something about your demand?
Just want to add that continued use of the turn is particularly egregious, especially in light of the risk that we're exposed to. And Nancy, you were on that call recently. You heard Karen Kaiser talking about her big concern working with the health department on the health issues in our city.
Right.
Especially with the particulates and the brain cancers and the health risks that are being posed against us are exacerbated by this turn. So I just don't want anyone to get the impression that it's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. And it's because it's additive to an already overburdened airshed and noise environment.
Okay, so any other comments on this particular letter? I just mean sort of our intent, because I will send my edits back out to all of you so you can see, and we can try to make it stronger, add words like egregious and other indications of our outrage at being dumped on by the FAA. But it sounds like we are all in agreement, motion notwithstanding here, that we need to act on this, that it's totally appropriate for us to act on this. And Debbie, I do want to say a huge thank you to you and Sharon or whoever else it was that did the public records request that resulted in us understanding that, yes, what we thought was happening really was happening in terms of the volume of flights. So thank you all for
So can we agree that maybe you and I and Sharon can work on this month to have it sent out to the BAC to look at in advance and then put for potential approval at our next meeting?
Yes, let's absolutely. I'm good.
Is
that
codified? So thanks.
Yeah.
Everybody I think okay with that?
Yeah.
And are we agreeing to weave in the COVID letter somehow?
Let's talk about that. Let's go back to the COVID letter. I think it needs some work. If others want to, I bring that letter back up again. This is testing my Zoom capacity here. I don't know if others, I mean, Sophia, with your health background, if you want to take a look at this letter and see if we can make it stronger and
sure.
A statement that.
Just so you know, Nakaya and Sharon and I worked on this letter together.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, great. Yeah, I'm happy to provide some suggested edits. I think what's really important, I think it is important to have a COVID-19 tie. One example of that is, in the state legislative session, because of COVID, they're going online, like many public forums, that they don't have the capacity and bandwidth to take on all the volume of policy they usually look at. And so, for example, for the health leaders in the legislature, if it's COVID related, they're much more interested, because that's really what's in the front of their minds. And I feel like if we can make that tie, it's likely to go on their radar and it helps marshal up what Senator Kaiser is trying to do for us in Olympia. Tina Orwell.
If anyone else would like to work with Sophia on this between now and the next meeting, and similar, I guess, to the last letter, get us a draft, an edited draft before the next BEAC meeting on December 15th, so that we can hopefully approve them for transmittal to the council at the December 21st meeting.
How about if Sophia then goes through this draft and puts in edits and recirculates it to Sharon and I to look at to see if it's good?
I can do that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah. And then in terms of time frame, is next week okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes, please.
Okay.
Okay. I think we made it through our agenda, our airport committee agenda, other than the other, which was intentionally vague at the beginning of our agenda here. Other updates. I do have an update. I don't know if anyone else has an update, and this includes you too, Brian. If there are things that others want to share with the committee, of things they've been working on or things they think are relevant to the work of our committee.
Whatever.
any other updates?
Oh, here? Nancy, I have a question. I just didn't want to lose this thought, but I remember Brian saying that the issues we just discussed would be part of the ones he raises back at START. And I support that. So I just wanted to make sure that that wasn't forgotten in terms of the committee's discussion about where else these issues can be brought forward for a discussion.
So I think Sharon actually made a comment to that, Sophia, partly that the tasks before START are somewhat different here. Now, maybe the COVID one would fall within, but the 250 turn is sort of unique to Burien and the FAA. And as she said, there are no electeds that are asking sort of port to port. I don't know. I mean, but I do think COVID is probably something that could be in the START conversation. Anyway, I have two hands up here, Brian and then Sharon.
And Debbie.
And Debbie.
So in reference to START, they have had some success between START making changes to airport operations in terms of use of the third runway. And that has been a coordinated effort with the FAA between START and pretty, you know, significant numbers difference, which has a direct relationship to noise associated with Burien. So in terms of this, you know, I would like the opportunity to be able to address this issue of the 250 turn and to work with them to try and get that addressed with in partnership, if it's possible. And I know that there's a long history, but I'm trying to work through this going forward is, can we make a difference? And I think there's an opportunity to make a difference. One of the big structural changes that I have this other five cities who are part of START who are with me on this is to recognizing the fact that there aren't any elected officials on START, that START is not a policymaking body, and that any recommendations that come from that would go to the Highline Forum, which has elected officials on it and can be restructured and can be a forum. And these are major restructures. And I've had nothing but support from my colleagues from the other cities, but also the Port of Seattle in willingness to talk about that and to change these structures. And so that's the direction that I'm working on regarding these structural changes with START.
Sharon.
Well, I will agree to Brian's optimism about the future and say, okay, take it to them. I just was reflecting what he just said, which is they're not a policymaking group and that they don't reflect the official opinion of elected officials. But if there's a new structure and a new method to work issues through first START and then Highline Forum, and in the process, there's more visibility and more action, positive action, that's a good thing. I wouldn't want to stand in the way of that. Just know the way they tricked everybody by their nighttime operational policy that they issued that was not agreed upon, and they're still heralding it as if it was a big breakthrough when in fact it was worse than what was existing law. So I just, you know, I'd like to see things change. I would like to think things could change and improve. And if Brian thinks that's possible, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, et cetera. But I just know that up to this point, that hasn't worked very well for us. But there's always a new day, a new dawning.
Thanks, Sharon. Debbie.
I just wanted to remind that the throughput that the turn creates causes additional noise for communities to the north and south of the airport. So it does affect everybody in a way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Especially if it's an expanded start.
Yeah, for sure.
Just a quick update. I had a conversation. I had an opportunity for, Javier, I see you've got your hand up.
Just following on what Sharon said, I think there's a chance that these letters are approved and are sent and we don't get any response, right? So I think we should also think at some point what else we can do in order to bring enough attention to this issue, right? And whether it makes sense to try to reach somebody else, either other electeds or media or, you know, Alaska or like somebody else who may actually be able to act on this, right? I think, you know, if history repeats itself, right, we're probably not going to get the response that we want.
Care for the worst. I had an opportunity to have a conversation with the FAA manager of their EIS EA processes. It was set up by Adam Smith's office. You know that we have been asking that the SAMP have an EIS, and I know, Debbie, you know a lot about this. It was an interesting conversation. She's a very articulate, in depth, and I'm sorry I don't have my notes in front of me. I should have.
Kayla Morgan.
Kayla? Is it Kayla Morgan?
I'm sorry, I don't think that's the name of who it was.
She's their senior environmental manager. Or analyst.
Candace Kroll. She's an environmental specialist.
Okay.
It was the conversation, the thing in the conversation that, and I won't go into the detail of it. I will type up some notes and send them to you guys. But the thing that I found most interesting is I mentioned that we have written letters requesting an EIS, and part of the basis for that is the growth that has occurred since the last EIS was completed in 1996, and that has never been addressed, that all of those incremental activities have been dismissed with a CADEX or some less an EA, nothing that has ever looked comprehensively at the cumulative impact of what's going on at the port. She said, thank you so much for that information. We will definitely take a look at that kind of, and it was sort of like, I was, you know, taken aback that there was someone here willing to say, now this may just be lip service, but it was, David Sumi was on the call. There were others that were in the conversation who, including Adam Smith's staff, who heard this and heard them say that this is something that we should consider when we are looking at the EA. So it gave me, you know, just a little more optimism that there could be some opportunity here for them being more comprehensive in what they're considering. So just FYI, it was an informal conversation that Adam Smith's office had set up. I thought it was useful. They wanted to limit it in terms of sort of who was in this, because we have been writing the letters saying that this is something we want to see, an EIS versus an EA. So it just let you know that this was something that did occur. Other updates or comments? So public comment. we have, I know we had a raised hand, and I don't know who that was earlier, but do we have anyone in the public who wants to make a comment? Okay, Samsung SMG928V. Lori, if you can make it possible for them to speak.
Sounds like Ernest.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Ernest.
Oh, okay, thank you.
You need to rename yourself so we know who you are.
I wasn't able to because you didn't have the whole sort of thing up. And so that was why I was kind of like doing Morse code with the lower the raise the hand thing. Sorry about that. I just wanted to say in terms of the coronavirus, which I suppose is obvious to everybody, that anytime you have people with stressed immune systems, you're going to have a higher percentage of coronavirus. And that's, I think, pretty obvious to everybody. But I think also if they were to look at other airports, which are heavily impacted by airport pollution around the country, and compare it to groups that are not heavily impacted, you would see a really, I think, dramatic demonstration that coronavirus definitely impacts those people because of the pollution, that they are already stressed out. In other words, your system is already more stressed out immunologically than the average citizen just by the fact that you live here. And the evidence, one more evidence among many others, is simply the higher numbers of coronavirus. And I think you'll see that would impact across the board if anybody actually bothered to look at that. So that's all I was going to say.
Thank you, Ernest. I wanted to point out that in our conversation, and Nancy was on that call with Boston Logan and LAX, it was mentioned that there are higher cases around at least Boston.
Okay. I'm sorry. I missed the first part of your meeting there. So thank you for informing me of that.
Yeah, we had a symposium last week with the UW, with elected officials, with scientists in the community. With Boston Logan, LAX, and SeaTac Airport talking about the ultrafine particle pollution and mitigation strategies, things that work, and shared information and data. So we had our UW team, everybody on there, Dr. Larson, Lena Austin, Dr. Cito, Dr. Michael Yost, and then we had a whole similar team from the Boston area. And we had some airport participants, community members, myself, and others.
The good thing was a commitment to continue to work together. I mean, that was, I thought, sort of by the end of the call, I mean, high level of interest in the information being shared.
Yeah, there's a spring symposium being planned now by the UW.
Okay.
I want to recognize JC. JC, do you want to say something? You don't have your hand raised, but you sent me an elected official's email about the work that JC has been advocating for the monitoring around SeaTac. So JC, do you want to say something to our committee about that?
Hello.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, just read the letter. And this is hopefully a budget proviso that Senator Kaiser will put forth in January. And it matches up with a system already in place in the Bay Area. And speaking of last week's call, I've been in touch with Scott Hersey of Boston Logan, and he is also very enthusiastic about such an idea. They have a much smaller scale idea. But, it's just, you know, I don't have words to describe. If SeaTac were a normal factory governed by EPA, we would have a whole suite of regular monitoring in place. And I think there is a learned helplessness, as psychologists call it, because we've never had it. We don't understand the value of it in terms of just grants in terms of moving the ball forward on legislation, if you don't have data, you simply can't do anything. It's this circular deal where because there's no regulatory ability currently, you'll get this shrug from clean air and so forth, where it'll be like, well, why do you want us to do a study if we can't regulate it? But if you don't have the data, then you cannot move forward legislation or get grants. So somebody has to do data collection. Somebody has to kickstart it, and it might as well be the state and us. So that's the deal. It's in the letter, and Senator Kaiser and Representative Johnson have been gracious enough to say that they will move the ball forward for getting the hardware, and hopefully the cities will see the value of it and support it.
Thank you, JC. And just for the airport committee, we did include this as part of our state legislative agenda to acknowledge the need for monitoring, both monitoring and mitigation in the context of CTAC.
Bless you. It's got to be ongoing. That's the thing. It can't just be like a study. Well, we do a study in 2009 and then we'll get back, and now we're good for another 8 or 9 years. You have to track the change over time. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Any other business? Any other comments? So we've got some follow-up.
I have a question. Sorry. Somebody else have their hand up, Nancy?
No. Go ahead, Deb.
I wondered when our participation on the committee is up.
That was a question I was going to ask Lori. Actually, is Lori still on here? Yeah, I think she is. That was a question I was going to ask. We need to take a look at the appointments because I think they're 2-year appointments and sort of the timing for when we will do new solicitations for community members. Council will look at membership starting in January. So that could all change.
And I just pulled it up. It looks like pretty much everybody expires February 25th. Of 2021.
Okay, so we will either have to renew if I can't remember if there are term limits or find new members.
It's a 2-year term.
Right, and some folks have been on for multiple years. I don't remember, Lori, if there's, can you serve forever?
I think you can.
Okay. Okay, so hopefully we will have a call for participation sometime in January, and council usually conducts interviews, and you've all been through the process, some of you multiple times.
Okay.
Okay, anything else for the good of the order?
Yeah, I was going to say that we had one person who resigned from the start. And I heard we're having a hard time recruiting anybody who wants to go to the start. It's almost seen as a kind of punishment at this point. So we'll let you know how that turns out. Thank you for your time tonight, folks, and happy holidays.
Thanks, Ernest. Happy holidays to you too. Happy holidays, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm having a giant gathering at my house. So anybody wants to
get COVID can go to Debbie's house, right?
Yeah. That's the good news. The bad news is it's all outside.
Yeah. Oh man.
Thanks all.
Cold. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Nancy. Thanks, Lori.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.